It's time for the podcast. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody. It's Jane Hamill from Fashion Brain Academy. Welcome to this episode of the Fashion Brain Podcast, just for emerging designers on the business side of things. Today, I am psyched because not only is it a perfect day in Chicago, but I have a super special guest. He is an art mentor. I'm sort of like the fashion design mentor on how to create a business. And this beautiful guy, Paul Klein, is a legend in the Chicago area. He ran a successful art gallery for 30 years. He is involved with the TED Talks. This guy is the man. So let's see if he's ready to chat with us and tell us what it takes to be a successful creative in today's world. Because things are changing. The old interwebs happened in the last 10 years, and the art world is on its ass. So let's find out from Paul what's the word. Are you there, Paul?
I was ready until I heard that introduction, and now I'm just...
I probably didn't do you justice. And I do want to know if you think the art world turned on its ass or not, because I made that up myself.
No, I don't think so at all.
Oh, God. Oh, good. This is going to be great. All right. So let's start with this. Tell us who you are. Hold on a second. Don't you think it turned it on its ass a little bit in how you sell? Because you can get direct to the people now instead of going through a gallery?
Oh, and I don't. Okay, sure. But when you say turned it on its ass, I assume that's negative. As opposed to just topsy-turvy spun it around and set it loose. So, if we agree on the semantics, I think the art world is in good shape, and it's changing, and there's more potential for artists and individuality. I think a lot of it has changed because, to an extent, galleries used to be gatekeepers and be reluctant to share information. Now, artists and, creatives can get in touch directly or with the people who are buying, consuming their art, their fashion, so that there can be a dialogue, there's greater connectivity and greater potential.
Okay, awesome. I'm totally in agreement. My words were just wrong. So, thanks, dude. So tell us who you are and what it is that you do. What did you do and what do you do now?
Well, I think it's a combination of factors. I had an art gallery for a long time in Chicago. I did some art consulting. I took care of all the art for McCormick Place West, and that was a blast. And then I thought I had enough money, and I was retired, and the economy went south, and all of a sudden I said, shit, I need to make some money. And I tried to focus. Actually, my wife encouraged me, Paul, you are really good at teaching. You should teach. And I'm going, I don't want to go back into the classroom. I can't make enough money. It's too limited, et cetera. But I tried to focus on what I'm good at and what I know and what I like doing. And I'm good at teaching, and I know the art world inside out. So I've combined these two things, and I teach online classes that demystify the art world. And I don't want to do it myself, where I'm the only one pontificating, so I bring in guest experts, and we do webinars every Monday night in a 12-week course. We actually do two webinars each Monday, and I interview people. It's kind of like I'm David Letterman, and I get to talk to Penelope Cruz or Tom Cruise. They're not related.
Can I be Penelope, please?
Yes, totally. And, I interview them, and it's a lot of fun, and then I open it up for questions, and every artist gets to ask all the questions. So these are folks that people would tend to put on pedestals, and genuflect in their general direction and be intimidated by. And all of a sudden you realize that these folks are accessible, they care about you, they want to see you succeed, and they're willing to share their information and tell you how they got there, how it was a combination of intent and luck, and how you got to keep putting it out there, and how these newer artists get on their radar. So, and a byproduct of that is that we're growing a community. You think that all the artists and designers, et cetera, want to be loners and I'm better than you, et cetera. But all of a sudden you find all these kindred spirits, and it becomes a factor of like raising the level of the pond and cooperating. And maybe I'm a sculptor and you're a painter, and you get this, submission proposal that isn't for you, but it is for me, and you turn me on to it. The idea is to, I consider it investing in my karma and putting out good energy and creating scenarios whereby I'm available for other people to do good things for me.
Wow. That is awesome. And I can tell you, or anybody listening, that the way I met Paul because my sister is an artist. She does non-traditional oil paintings. Hamelpaintings.com, I believe it is. But anyway, just moving on, just a little plug. But so she was in his course. She was in your course, everybody,
right.
And she raves about it. And the reviews on that course are unbelievable, like really great. So you obviously are a super good teacher, and you've nailed on the things people really want to know. So, I mean, and when I first went to your site, Paul, I'll tell you, I saw that video that you have up there, and when you started talking about the three things that make a successful creative, I wanted to jump out of my seat and raise my hand and say, yes, yes, I agree. I have found a kindred spirit. This is great. So that's why I was so excited when Ruth introduced us, because I really, really like your stuff. So just to put that out there.
I was a little skeptical when she introduced, said you guys should chat, because I get that a lot. and frequently, I'm pretty willing to invest in lunch. And a lot of times I go, well, that was a nice lunch. But, meeting you was just really, really, really fabulous. And there's a lot of, sympathetic kindred energy, and we inspire one another, and I like your husband,
But I think it's good, because we're able to push each other more towards our goals. Anyway, we're only getting started. We've only met a month ago, so this is great. So I want to hear your take on what makes a successful creative person. And I guess successful meaning what also? Like, in your
mind,
I think
successful is really up to the person who wants to be successful. For some people it can be money, for some people it can be attention, for some people it could be like, I'm starting a revolution. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Successful is how you define it, not how I or Jane defines it.
Yeah, that is the truth. Okay, so what's the first thing that you've noticed?
I think it's really fascinating because you would think that the quality of the product, the quality of the vision, is most important, and unfortunately, it's not. I think that what's really most important is originality, uniqueness. And I look at this as being, I look at it as a notion that, I have to back up a little bit. I think that every person who is born on this planet is unique. And that if we focus on being as much who we are as possible, as much as we can hone our uniqueness, the better off we are. And this relates to, and I resist the word, but it relates to branding. If you're making fashion that looks like somebody else, essentially you're doing their marketing. If I make a painting that looks like Van Gogh, I'm not doing any good for myself. I'm doing I don't know if I'm doing any good for him either, but you get the notion.
Yeah.
So that the more you can be yourself, the more you're going to land on something that is unique, and the more that unique thing becomes identifiable with you. And then, that becomes what you do. An interesting byproduct of this is I differentiate between vision and strategy. And I think the vision is the core issues. Everything I make has to be green, or it has to deal with nature, or it's about, I'm all about recycling, so I only use recycled materials. Those are vision. The vision things are, I assume, are non-negotiable. I must paint landscapes. Mm-hmm. Every work I do is horizontal. Something perhaps like that is vision. Vision, it's different for different people. Strategy is what you do with the vision. Do I put a frame on it? How much do I price it? Perhaps what colors do I use? How long are the sleeves? Whatever. The things that are negotiable are the vision. And I want to hone the vision things. Now, within the vision, I think vulnerability is part of strategy. And the more vulnerable you are, which I think means the more I am revealing myself, the more I am in touch with who I am and putting it out into the world, the more people relate to what it is I'm communicating. Now, when I say relate, I don't think they are perceiving my vulnerability.
Ooh.
Let's say I'm making paintings about my being abused as a child. And I'm putting this experience of mine, it isn't so literal that I'm getting whipped in the image, but I am putting that emotion and that feeling out there, and perhaps it's cathartic for me, and I'm revealing my vulnerability in my art or in my fashion. what other people see in art when they look at this is themselves. I'm showing them me, and they see themselves. And they say things like, you are opening the door for me for my personal experience. I so relate to what you're doing. It's cathartic. It helps me get in touch with who I am. It makes me a better person. So this is the person, this is, you know, the notion of being unique. This is, and you're unique because you are who you are. And the more you are who you are, the more unique you are revealing yourself, the more willingness you have to be vulnerable, the more people see the vulnerability, and to get crass, the more they identify with your brand. So I think the number one thing in terms of an artist, a designer, anybody being successful is to be who they are. Okay?
Wow. I am taking notes as fast as I can, even though I know I'll have the recording.
It isn't like you should follow trends. You know, by the time you identify a trend and jump on it, it's gone. You know, you've missed the train. Following trends is ridiculous. Be who you are and do it in spades, you know. Just put it out there and keep doing it, you know. If all your fashion has to, you know, drag 3 feet behind you on the ground and that's your vision, go for it, you know.
So, but what do you say to somebody who says, okay, what do you say to me who says, okay, that's awesome, I'm creating everything with 3 feet behind me, but I can't sell that. How do I live? What? How do you, you know, marry those two?
That's number two. What a
good segue.
All right. And here you go. I mean, we're thinking we want people to identify with our vision. Beautiful. But it's a matter of numbers. And the numbers can be interpreted in two different kinds of ways. I need to get my vision out in front of enough people. Or two, I need to get my vision out in front of the right people. Either one of those is fine. And, you know, you can mix them up and have some of each. That's great. Now, summed up, you know, number two is show up. Get your butt out the door. It's about relationships. It would be beautiful if it was just about the art or just about the fashion. And there's plenty of people who make art and fashion that is desirable. They're not showing up. The fact of the matter is that if you go out there and be likable, if you invest, if you grow your community, and I differentiate in terms of grow your community and networking, I think networking is, here's my card, what can you do for me?
Mm-hmm.
I think growing your community is, hey, we're both in this together. I mean, Jane, you and I are growing our community together, you know. We are now part of each other's community. And by extension, the people who work with you are, you know, are crossing into my community and me into theirs. We are growing our community. And the sense is like we're in this together. What can we do for each other? How can I help you? How can I create a scenario where I help you so much you want to help me some back? You know, and what can we do? You got to show up. You know, you got to take your you don't need it, it isn't necessarily about what you make. It's about who you are. It's more about selling yourself than it is about selling your line. It's more about being likable so that somebody if you like somebody. If you've got two people in front of you and they're both making chocolate chip cookies and one of them you really love and the other person you don't know at all and you taste the cookies, the odds are that the person who you know, you're going to like their cookies, you're going to want to like their cookies better.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's the same thing. So you need, you know, when I talk to people about establishing a relationship with a gallery and you guys can extrapolate, it's about going in and saying, nice exhibit, thank you. It's about paying a compliment to the other person as opposed, you know, and it's about relieving the pressure. You do not want to, here's my stuff, look at it, tell me how much you love it. You know, that puts pressure on the person to have a positive response. And that makes them, I don't know what the word I want is, cautious, perhaps even almost defensive. Negative, because they're put in a position where they're forced to like something and nobody wants to be forced to do a damn thing at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you want to put them in a position where they don't feel forced and they don't feel pressure. So basically you tell them how good they are and you say, and you leave and you say thank you and then you come back again. You know, and in these cases, you know, you say you have a lot of things in your line here that you do that are really wonderful. I'm so pleased to see it. Thanks. And then maybe there's a third time, you know, and if you're doing this with people that aren't physically in, you know, your proximity, you know, you can do the same kind of thing by email, whereby you're educating people. But, you know, the third time, the objective is to have them say, Jane, I really appreciate your opinion. What do you do? I want to know more about where you're coming from so I can understand your opinion better. And you say, I'm so glad you asked. I just happen to have these pictures here and I can show you.
Right.
If they, you know, that's the objective. But if they don't say that, then it's time for you to say, you know, so much of what you do really resonates with me. It wouldn't surprise me that what I do resonates with you. And because they like you, because you've shown up, because you've invested energy in their vision, they're in the right frame of mind to be responsive to what you do. You know, it's about showing up and growing those relationships and growing those communities. I mean, if you want to even take it a step further and be pragmatic, you could say to somebody, you know, you only design military costumes here, and I think they're really interesting, but it's not quite what I do. I wonder if you could take a look at my work and recommend me to somebody. You know, mm-hmm. With that recommendation, it's sort of like a step above a blind date. You're no longer cold calling, but let's say, you know, you can then go over to the other person and say, Colonel Bradley sent me over here to talk to you. You know, you have an introduction. I mean, that's a little bit far-fetched, but I hope you understand what I'm saying.
No, but it's true. If you start the relationship, then, and you have been, you know, sort of digging a well before you're thirsty, you know, you're offering them.
Yeah.
You know, thank yous and I like your stuff and compliments, and you start to just be interested in them, they're going to want to help you.
So the idea is not only to invest, as you're using the term, in people who have a sympathetic aesthetic where you might end up placing your work, but to invest in people you like because they have more experience and knowledge than you do, and they can help you with that information, get you to where you want to go. So it doesn't have to be totally linear.
And it doesn't have to be people who are deemed influencers or important. Like somebody is sitting there and all saying, oh, gosh, I want to invest in Paul Klein because he could help me get a gallery. But that's not what it's about at all. Or is it? You're saying invest in your community no matter if they,
sure.
if they have power or not.
You know, but I mean, you know, if you're looking at the Paul Klein thing and you know, invest in me, you know, if you get to know me and I like you, I have no qualms about, and I see a fit, I have no qualms about calling up a gallery and going, you know, Jane's stuff is really awesome. She'd really be fabulous to work with. I think you'd really like her. Would you meet with her?
Right.
You know, I do that a lot, and people say yes a lot. You know, and then it's in your hands, you know, and how you deal with it. And sometimes it happens, but I'm not embarrassed to recommend you. I know other mentors who, you know, oh, it's on me, and if they don't like it, I look like poop, and I won't do that. No way. I will.
But I think you have quite a reputation built up, and so people would say, I don't even know how to get to Paul. And maybe the start is to just get to other people, like just be nice to everybody.
You and I were talking a moment ago about how, before we started recording, about this woman from Mexico who sent me an email who can't decide if she wants to go into art or fashion, so I blind copied you on the email.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she just sent me an email, and there was something in her email that was sympathetic that I thought maybe I could make a difference, so I wrote her back. You know, and sometimes people say, you know, we'll write and go, oh, what can you do for me?
Yeah.
And, you know,
right,
you go, well,
right.
Hell, I don't want to deal with that. But,
right.
You know,
You can't be doing that.
I've seen so many of your videos, and what you say touches my heart. And it's so, you know, I don't know if you'll answer me, but here I am writing you. You know, that's sweet. I'm touched by that.
So,
you know, I mean, here's the deal. These folks, I don't think I'm somebody, well, I guess I am, that people would put on a pedestal, you know. But we're just people. Everybody is just people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I bet you Richard Branson gets an awful lot of emails, and I bet he answers a percentage of them because he's just people, you know, and though he looks like one of the most amazing people in the world to me, I bet a lot, you know, I bet he's just a guy, and I think everybody's like that.
I love his motto, too. Screw
what
it, let's
that?
Do it. His whole thing in the office and his whole life has been, and you have the same motto, but he actually put it into, screw it, let's do it.
Yeah.
I think yours might have been F it, but whatever.
You know, and then there's the third thing, I think, you know. And
okay.
This is, I mean, you know, there's also a guy, Dawood Bey is a brilliant artist who happens to be here in Chicago. And his first name is Dawood, and his last name is Bey, Bey. And he writes a blog. But if you look up Dawood Bey, advice for a young artist, he has 10 points. And one of his points, and it's my third point, but one of his 10, is, you know, if you make good art and you talk to people about it, and one of the things you said is, you know, is associate with people better than yourself. But if you make good art and you keep putting it out there, good, some people are going to see it and good things are going to happen. You know, so you've got, not only do you have to get yourself out the door, you've got to get what it is you make out the door. Mm-hmm. And you've got to get it seen. And you know, and if you do it enough and you get exposure for it, you know, and some of this means I'm going to show my stuff in silly venues. And maybe I'm going to try that street fair that I wouldn't do otherwise. And maybe, you know, some significant person happens to come, be wandering past the street fair and go, whoa, look at that. You know, one of my adages is you never know where good news is going to come from. But so I think there are three points. You know, the first point is be yourself, be unique, you know, and be who you are as much as you can. The second one is get your butt out the door, show up, you know, and the third one is make good art. And I think if you do those things, and I think, you know, you will find the success you want.
And so the question that I think a lot of people might be having in their mind, and I know I'm having, is be yourself, be who you are. A lot of us feel fear, resistance, nervousness. We don't know who we are. It's too scary to be ourselves. Have you seen this with artists? I'm sure you have, right?
And I think basically I'm pretty crass on this one. Get over it. You know, I mean, here's the deal. If you're making something and you believe in it, you're an asshole if you don't get it out into the world. It demands to be seen and you're holding it back. What kind of jerk is that? You know, over yourself. You've made something beautiful. It needs to be seen. Get it out there. You know, Nick Cave, who does sound suits and has been head of the fashion department at the School of the Art Institute in Chicago, has been a friend for a long time, and I've been asking Nick to do a webinar with me forever. And for 3 years, he said, no, Paul, I can't. I'm too shy. And finally he said, I'll do it, Paul. You know, he was over, and he said, I'll do it. And we scheduled. I was shocked when he agreed to schedule it, you know. And in the webinar, I said, Nick, you are probably one of the shyest people I've ever met, and you're doing brilliant stuff with your art. How's it happening? How are you getting it out into the world? Mm-hmm. You know, he said, I'm a messenger. It is my task. It is my job to get this stuff out in the world. I just have to do it.
Wow.
You know, so it's really a question of priorities. You know, I mean, here's the deal. In my course, I can teach everybody how to succeed, but it's the obstacles that we put in front of ourselves that hold us back. You know, and we all know what our obstacles are, and we basically have to blow them away, or we have to just confront them and go, I have to do this. You know, just like Nick Cave has to do it. I have to do this. And it's the priority. I think it's more important to get your beautiful stuff out into the world than it is to say, I have to sit here, I can't do it. You know, and if you take a look at it further, most of the people who are out there who are doing it and appear confident are not. They're not. You know, they've got the same problems we have. They're just saying, I have to do this. It's more important. And it is. You know, if you've got something that can make somebody else look beautiful or make them look good, and you're not giving it to them, if you're not selling it, if you're not making it available, you're nasty.
You're just being rude.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think you have an obligation.
But let me ask you about this. Sorry, go ahead.
I don't know. You have a gift, and you're not sharing it? That's really selfish. Get over it.
So when you say, because this is something that I don't know that I can agree with or not here, we all know what our obstacles are.
Yeah.
And you said, so like, you know, I totally agree. You're just not being polite. If you have something wonderful to offer the world, you have a, you know, sort of a moral obligation to get it out there, really. But what if you don't know what's holding you back from getting it out there?
Well, you know, this is why I think, actually, Jane, you and I like each other. Because we can call each other on our own other stuff, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that you can say, Paul, you are being too generous. Get over it. And I'm going, really? I thought that was a good strategy. Oh, my God. Jane thinks I shouldn't give it all away. But it's so easy to give it away because then I don't have to worry about selling it.
And that's somebody who gives away free content every week, okay? So if I think you're giving away too much, believe me. You is.
So when you say it, it sort of makes me think about it and call it to task, okay? And makes me have to confront it. You know, and I think you told me that you and I are both doing coaching, and I think you have a coach mentor that keeps you in line, right?
Yeah, I do. I talk to him.
So
today.
I think what we, so this is, you know, I mean, this is what helped this person, I don't know, male, female, that you are working with, is facilitating your obstacle confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow or another, you, Jane, have worked your way into my head, psyche, and heart, because I've been resisting having a coach mentor because I didn't want to be reminded of these things, and here you are doing that for me and to me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
So, you know, the question is that, I mean, our obstacles are really, we're really good at acknowledging and finding comfort with our obstacles. They're familiar. You know, I mean, some of us prefer failure to success because it's familiar. And we're comfortable with it because we've done that. We've done that before. And, you know, I was working with a woman this morning who called me up out of the blue, and she says her sculptures sell for $500,000 and she can't find a gallery in the world to handle them. And I looked at her sculptures, and yes, they do sell for $500,000, and she has found every excuse to not find a gallery. You know, and it's not that the galleries don't exist, it's that she doesn't believe that she really wants one. You know, so she's created a scenario whereby they will say no to her.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if, you know, she had you sitting on her shoulder whispering in her ear, she would get over it. So I'm sorry, I'm really dragging along here. But the answer to your question,
I love this.
The answer to your question is find a friend solid enough, good enough that you respect, that will, you know, chirp in your ear and say, "You really ought to deal with this. It's time. You know,
yeah.
You should. You really ought to deal. Your mother." You know, but you want someone to be your mother. That's, you know, and ultimately you'll get past it and go, "I don't need that person anymore." Or maybe they'll continue to contribute and do good things.
Maybe your aunt. How about a close aunt?
If you want to get even more far-fetched here, I'm embracing the notion that artists can have business partners.
Yes. Yes.
And we can take it even a step further and look at what creative capital has done where I got this brilliant idea is artists can have advisory boards.
Oh, wow. They would hate that.
It's difficult, but you can have two kinds of advisory boards. You know, one where people are providing services, like your accountant should not be charging you. They should be doing the work for free. A party planner, a financial advisor, a publicist, because they believe in you, because they are capitalists and they're all about making money. And because you are a creative and because you can pull back the curtain and they can glimpse at your life and because they're not really going to church anymore and they're not getting absolution and they're making too much money and they're not giving a tithe to the church or whatever. So instead, they can, you know, they can invest in you because it absolves their conscience and cleanses.
It's like a little NEA coming right at you. Just
and
from
it cleanses
one
their soul. So you
microfunding.
Have, you know, and then you can have an advisory board where people pay you $1,000 or several thousand a year for the right to, you know, you will talk to them once a month about what you're doing and you will thank them for their money and how it facilitates your vision.
Wow.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
Now this I have not heard this before. This is crazy good stuff. But so let me ask you though, because I sort of feel when you don't pay people, you don't get the best work out of them.
Agreed.
Okay, but that's okay because they're actually highly motivated because you're a young artist.
Who are we not paying? What are you talking about?
So like, okay, so if I'm going to hire an accountant who's going to work for me for free because he thinks my work is cool and he's supporting
the
art.
Probably the accountant you've already worked with who has established a base level of competence.
Okay, got it.
And now you say to them, you know, David or whomever, you know, I know people who've actually done this and succeeded in this. Instead of me paying you $1,000 or a few $100 a year, or whatever it is, to do my taxes, you know, I'd like you to appreciate my vision. I want you to invest in a dream. I want you to invest in what I'm doing and where it's going. And I'd like you to do my taxes for nothing. Or at the very least, your out-of-pocket expenses.
That's a great idea. It really is. And it's very of the moment because it's so microfunding, crowdfunding-ish. You know, it's like
go
on Indiegogo and say, you know, here I'm looking for this kind of people, practically.
I mean, the thing that's so hard for us creatives to embrace is that somebody else cares enough to want to do that. But, you know, they get absolution. They get to feel like they're a better human being and they're contributing to the well-being of the planet by giving you money or by doing something for you for, and not charging you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think those of us who are in creative fields underestimate how boring other people's jobs can be. I mean, our jobs can be boring too, right? So imagine if you're just pushing papers or just looking at spreadsheets all day.
Totally.
To them, an artist's life is like really cool.
And I mean, I keep thinking of the Wizard of Oz, you know, and pulling back the curtain and seeing that this, you know, amazing wizard is actually just a guy with a big microphone.
don't look over the curtain. Don't look at the curtain.
But all of us creatives, or all of you creatives, you're doing magic. You're making magic. And people want to see the magic. And how did it happen? How did you create that? How did you have the vision to make that thing with three sleeves? You know, where did it come from? How do I tap into that? And if you can show me that, I'm better for it. And I'm willing to give you my services so that you will show me, or my money.
Yeah, tell your story. If you really can tell your story, you're right. So what, so I wish I hadn't started out the episode with it's on its ass. I only meant that the way people are selling is different.
I already forgot that.
Yeah, I'm back to it because I feel bad, but it's all good. So in your experience, I mean, you're a guy, you've been around a long time, you're totally embracing the way the world is now, the new technology. I mean, when I met, you're like, well, what platform are you using? And I'm like, this. And she goes, you should use mine. Like, you've got it going on. You know, you're moving on. You're doing things the new way. What do you say to people, like, who want to sell their art and they're stuck here? They don't know what to do. Okay, yes, I know I need to be unique. I know I need to get out there. I got your points. What's one or two specific things somebody could do, like, today, tomorrow?
Get out of the house, get out of the studio.
Okay, and where would they go?
Go to, I mean, for you people, I don't know, I'm assuming a boutique or
For you. Go. Let's talk about your people.
Go to an art gallery, look at an exhibit, find out who, you know, and say, first of all, treat the person, the little girl behind the desk that doesn't seem to be doing anything, treat that person with respect. You know, they might actually be in charge. Mm-hmm. And they might grow up to be in charge, and you never know where good news is going to come from later on. Second of all, you know, just go out and be a good person. Go look at some art and say something to somebody at the place you're looking at the art. Like, nice show. That was really refreshing. Thank you. You know, the idea is to get noticed a little bit, just a touch, and leave. That's it. Baby steps. It's all – none of these things are hard. It's about baby steps.
Okay.
You know, and then go back to that place again, let's say in 3 weeks, and say, whoa, this is the second nice thing I've seen. But it's about that. It's about going out into the world and beginning to grow relationships by, with some sincerity, paying a compliment to somebody at the place that you're going. And then having done that, and an awful lot of things like this, Jane, I relate to dating. You know, you don't want to give it all away on the first date. You know,
right.
And it's like, you know, I mean, walking into a boutique and saying, "Will you, here's my line, will you take it?" is like on a first date going, "You're cute, will you sleep with me?"
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty convinced that that's not the best strategy.
Do you want to get married? Because we'd have nice children.
You can't say that.
Yeah.
You know, hi, you're cute. Thanks. That might even be too much.
Right.
You know, hi might be enough.
Nice shoes. Yeah.
But it's like that, you know. And then on the second date, you know, you say a little bit more. So I think you need to get out into the world. You need to engage. You need to be personable. You need to be able to come home and say, I think that person liked me. I liked them. That's it. You know, we're talking.
That's it.
Ultimately, all these things we're talking about are about relationships. So when you say, what can I do today? Go begin a relationship and begin it just really gently and just say hi. That's enough. You know, you've begun a relationship because you opened your mouth and they responded. That's enough. you know?
That's great.
It's like you talking to me. You met my wife this weekend for the first time, and you said, you know, she shopped at my store. I remembered her. It's been years, but yeah. So, you know, you have that. You and I, you know, everybody pays attention to people we like. So go be likable.
So true. And tell me what's happening. What do you see that's working for people right now in the online relationship world? So, like, you know, do you guys go into who's using Instagram or Facebook or social media, and how do you see that, what's happening right now for your people?
Well, first of all, I think it's the same thing, you know, and not all of us are good at everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I think you need to pick and choose what you like. You know, my wife was saying to me, should I do my own Facebook page for my line? I'm going, mm-hmm. well, I think you need to post there pretty often, like once or twice a week at least. Are you going to do that? She says, I don't know. Well, I said, well, fine, then don't do it. You know,
yeah.
So it's sort of like, if you like Instagram, fine, do it. If you don't like Facebook, screw it. You know, first of all, it's about relationships. And second of all, it's about, you know, just going back to that first point we made about, you know, being who you are. It's about doing what resonates, you know, so that if what, you know, any social media particularly resonates, pursue it. If none of them do, if it's not you and you can't embrace it, screw it. Do what resonates. There's, you know, you're going to find plenty of stuff that resonates. And what you'd have to do is then find other people find other people for whom what you are doing resonates.
But let me ask you this, though. You and I were older, okay? I can see what resonates with me and just be like, yeah, I'm just doing it. Who cares if it doesn't work? Because enough things have worked for me in the past, okay?
Right.
So you're born fearless. I once did a talk for the Girl Scouts of America, and the little girl asked me in a huge group of people, tell us about something in your business that didn't work. Tell us about a failure. And I couldn't come up with anything. Okay? That's how psychotic I am. I was like,
I have plenty of failures, and I am not fearless. And when I opened my gallery, I had to be the one who served the alcohol at the opening because it was mandatory that there was a table between me and the people who I might be talking to. I needed a barrier. You know, and eventually you get tired of the damn barrier and you just come on out and you talk. So, you know, a lot of stuff isn't going to work. And that's the stuff you learn from. And that's the stuff that makes you better. You know, what is that line I once created? You know, experience is the stuff that happens when you don't want it to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's the stuff that you learn from, I think, is,
yeah.
You know, not getting it right. That's just luck, and then you think it's going to, you know, you don't learn from it. I think, you know, we're going to make mistakes. You know, some of what I said today, probably I shouldn't have offered. You know, some of it's probably a mistake. You know, I'll figure it out later. Or not.
I mean, who cares? Yeah.
You know,
I doubt it.
And you just keep moving. You know, you can't worry about the mistakes. Mistakes frequently provide good lessons, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
Just try not to make it too illegal too often.
And I think I like what you said. So let's say you're super scared. Like my sister knows what to do, has taken other classes in the past. Here's how you do. You walk into a gallery. You talk like this. You do this. Still had never approached a gallery ever. I mean, too petrified, honestly. And then she met this woman, Amy, who then started selling her work for her, who has no problem doing it. So 10 years, she has had the resistance of selling her things to a gallery, right? So baby steps. Like, I love how you said baby steps. If Ruth had just started stopping in at that gallery, like you said,
yeah,
that would have been it. She's friendly and nice. She would have made a connection without thinking, I have to go there and sell.
Yeah, well, ultimately, somebody's going to say, well, you know what I, you know, the store person or whoever is going to say, you know what I do, what do you do?
Yeah.
And you go, well, I make paintings. And you go, do you have any pictures with you? You know? And you go, yes or no, I'll bring some in next time.
Right. So it's the baby step. It's
basically
not the huge
all natural
thing.
It isn't like, it shouldn't have to be forced.
Right. Well, if you're nervous, then it is a little forced the first time, but then you get used to it.
Yeah, but there's something charming and disarming about someone who's nervous. You know, like, you're nervous talking to me? That's so adorable.
Right.
I love it. I like you. You're nervous.
You're right.
You know,
oh my gosh.
Fine.
So
you know, that's another thing that we should talk about for a second. Is maybe we're running long. I don't care.
We're running a little long, but I can't stop.
Age.
Go ahead.
So many people go, I'm too old. It's all about the young people.
God, I'm so
sick of that. I find that so bogus. I mean, because what you want to be able to have is experience and a story, and you want the person who's selling your stuff to be able to tell your story. And if you're 19 years old or 26 years old, you don't have much of a story. You know, if you're 45 or 55 or 65, you have a story. And, mm-hmm. you know, you do not want to be like everybody else. You want to be like who you are. You know, and if a store is only showing 30-year-old designers and you come in and you're 68 years old and your stuff is just as friggin' vibrant and exciting and quality as everybody else's, you stand out. You are the oddball, or you are the exception that people are going to pay attention to, and you have a story, and the store owner can say, you know, look at Molly's stuff. She's 68. Doesn't it blow you away? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have this connectivity so that, I mean, essentially everything we think is a shortcoming, we need to spin into an asset because it is.
For instance?
Age.
Oh. Yeah, duh. Yeah.
I'm short. You know, my hair is gray. My nose is too big. I'm not talking about me, by the way, folks.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think you're short. Got it. Whatever it is, you just work. You work it.
Yes, totally. Yeah.
Like Oprah says, make friends with your hair. Quit trying to make your hair to be something it's not going to be.
I didn't know she said that, but yeah.
It's all about Oprah, Paul. Come on. Okay, so we're each going to do one thing, and I didn't tell you about this, but let's just try it, okay? We're each going to issue one challenge to the people listening right now. Okay, so here's your assignment, whoever's listening, okay? So here's one
step
you
can, by now.
You
gone.
Can take. Oh, yeah, they're so gone. But my mom's still listening. So
hi, Mom.
Okay, so I'm stealing yours. Your step is to take a baby step and go out to a store or a gallery.
No way. That was mine. You have to come up with your own.
Okay. That's yours.
All right. No, I'll come up with another one.
I do have another. I got a backup.
Yeah. Well, you came in prepared.
Okay. Well, actually, I just developed this as we were talking. But here's what I would do. Here's what I would challenge people to do. Think about what have you been resisting? Okay, so for me, I'm doing this live event I was telling you earlier it's called the Launch Align Bootcamp, okay? I'm doing it because I've been resisting updating one of my courses that just could use a little fresh love. And it's been like a year I've been thinking of doing it. And finally, I had the resistance of taking the discipline to update the course was killing me. So I figured I had to give myself a deadline. And nothing like selling a bunch of tickets to an event to make you do the work. So what was that resistance about? If I had been on this podcast and written down what was the resistance, what was my obstacle to getting that done, maybe I would have done it a year ago. So my challenge is, everybody, what are you resisting? What are you not doing that you feel you probably should and you wish you would do? What is it? And what's your first step towards overcoming that resistance?
Yeah, what's your first baby step? But I think that's a great one.
Baby step. You're right. That's good.
Okay, I got one.
Okay, go.
This is like the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts. Be prepared. Carry evidence.
Ooh.
Always, when somebody says, what do you do? If you're on the bus or anywhere else, you can pull out your phone, your tablet, your notebook, sketches, and you can say, I design clothes. I make pictures. I paint paintings. And, you know, and somebody says, really, what do they look like? And you should be able to show them something, you know, that has at least two images. That's enough. You don't want to show
That's
them
awesome.
50, you know. Two or three, and let them respond or say something or say more. Or just say, I like it, but that's enough. Be prepared.
So awesome.
If you don't know where good news is going to come from and all of a sudden it shows up, you should be ready.
That's good. All right. So thank you so much, Mr. Klein.
Thank you. I learned stuff.
Rock. We could go on forever. This is great. We should do a weekly radio show.
Okay.
I want to.
You know, we should. Wait a minute.
That'd be hilarious.
I really want to do that. So I'm ready when you make it happen.
Okay, count me in. Probably in a few months I might be ready for that, actually. We'll talk. We'll talk offline. But everybody listening, thank you for coming. True thanks. And I want to know, which of these assignments are you going to do? What challenge are you going to accept us? Head over to the blog and just Google, do a search on the blog, fashionbrainacademy.com/blog for Paul Klein, K-L-E-I-N, and leave us your challenge. I want to know what you're going to do, and I'm going to be probably checking to follow up on you and see if you did it, all right? So we'd love for that to happen. And Paul, can you just tell us where people can get a hold of you, where to find you?
Your site and everything? I'm on the internet pretty much all the time. And if you email me, paul@kleinartistworks.com, K-L-E-I-N, artist is singular, A-R-T-I-S-T, works is plural, W-O-R-K-S, paul@kleinartistworks.com, or the website, kleinartistworks.com. There's a bunch of videos and other stuff, probably advice you can extrapolate from. Or send me an email or ask me questions. I'm here, you know. It's fun. I have a good time interacting with people, and I look forward to hearing from you. And I expect you all to do great things. The world needs it. You know, I think this is a lot of why Jane and I do this, is to make the world a better place for ourselves and our kids. You know, I mean, ostensibly we say we're helping you, but really it's just selfish. Basically creatives, the world needs really good creative solutions to a lot of things. And I'd like to see, you know, people say, I have a designer living on my block. I have an artist living on my block. It is so fabulous. It is so cool because you guys have solutions and the world needs them. So I want to see you do great stuff and I want to hear about it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Paul. Thanks,
Likewise.
Everybody. Have
a
great day. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you all.